Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will catch up with Terrez Paylor. He's been all over the Jalen Ramsey story. We will get the latest from Terrez Paylor coming up in just a little bit. Today's pop quiz was Saved by the Bell. NBC, they are starting their own streaming network because that's what everybody is doing. They are planning a Saved by the Bell reboot. Again, coming up in 30 minutes, Terrez Paylor of Yahoo Sports will join us. Yesterday, he had the Terrez Paylor Show, normally hosted by Brandon Kiley, but he was off. He will be back hosting it next week. This is what he thinks it will take to acquire Jalen Ramsey.
If I were the Jaguars, I wouldn't train him for anything less than two firsts. That's how special he is. He's not even 25 yet. That's the thing. Like, you're not just trading for Jalen. You're trading for the next 4 years of Jalen, who's like an elite cornerback with the superstar development trait, right? So, you know, I would think it'd at least take two first-round picks. And if it takes anything less than that, you got to steal.
I mean, that's the cost for elite-level players. We just saw Laremy Tunsil get traded to the Texans. It cost two first-round picks. We saw Khalil Mack get traded. It cost two first-round picks. I think that Jalen Ramsey's an elite-level player. If you use that framework for a trade, two first-round picks makes a lot of sense.
It would be two 32s, though, right? So no big deal.
Two first-round picks is a lot of compensation.
It's just a lot of compensation. It's definitely going to be a low first-round pick, though. So, obviously, it's kind of like Minka Fitzpatrick. They got a better deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If they want first-round picks, if that's their M.O., the Chiefs are going to have one of, if not the lowest first-round pick on the entire board. So they're going to have to sweeten the pie. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. You're going to have to overpay. If you really want something in life or in football, you pay a little bit more for it. It's going to cost you a premium. Jacksonville understands that. If they decide the Chiefs are the team they're going to do business with, they're absolutely going to require them to pay a tax on a guy like Jalen Ramsey.
I would really be worried about Seattle. Seattle, to me, would make a lot of sense to grab Jalen Ramsey. We'll go inside the mind of the machine coming up in a little bit, and we'll catch up with Terrez to get the latest on Jalen Ramsey coming up at 3:30. But first, we do this every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. It is the Cover 2, presented by Keller Fire and Safety, keeping the fire.
The biggest stories from the NFL and college football coming out of the weekend. It's time for Cover 2 on The Drive.
Let's start with college football here. We talked a lot about Missouri earlier. Let's talk a little bit about Kansas.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. This is the biggest Kansas football game this decade. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not cracking any jokes. Very seriously. Coming off your first Power 5 road win this decade, at home, team in the Big 12 that you can beat. Tell me a game this decade that's been bigger than the one that Kansas is going to have this Saturday against West Virginia. Like, I watched every snap of a West Virginia game. Kansas can beat that team. Now, they shouldn't be the favorite over that team, but at home, if you play well, if the offense can carry from what it did last week against Boston College, like, maybe that was the thing to turn the corner. Maybe I'm wrong here. I think this is the biggest KU game we've seen since Mark Mangino.
I was thinking, and I wish I could argue with that, but maybe you're right. And that's just pathetic, the depths that this program has fallen to, where we're talking about a game between, by far, the two worst teams in the Big 12 going head-to-head at the booth on Saturday, being the biggest KU game in a decade. But you're absolutely right. As far as the line goes, Vegas thinks that West Virginia is a better football team than KU. West Virginia is a 4.5-point favorite as of right now. They're coming off a good win, just like KU is. West Virginia took down NC State this past Saturday. Of course, KU coming off the big win on the road against Boston College. There's a lot of goodwill right now. There's a lot of optimism in Lawrence for KU football. The place would have been nuts, and I don't say that as hyperbole. I say that, like, I think the place would have been absolutely nuts, close to a sellout, if Kansas wouldn't have lost to Coastal Carolina. We were talking about Howard Richards earlier about how the MU loss really deflated you when they lost to Wyoming. Same thing when KU lost to Coastal Carolina. Obviously not the same expectations, but can you imagine if instead of being 2-1 coming off a win against Boston College, this team was 3-0 entering Big 12 play with an actual chance to win? People would be talking about Les Miles as a savior. They're over-under in Las Vegas. Their win total for the season is 3, and they're already there. So I think KU can pull it off. Like, they don't have much of a passing game, but their running game is underrated and, dare I say, maybe the best in the Big 12. You combine Puka Williams.
Relax, relax.
How many times do you watch KU football?
I went to a game this year to watch him.
Puka Williams.
I don't need to watch it. I can assure you that they don't have the best running game in the Big 12. I promise you.
I'm telling you guys.
They've had two home games. I've been to one of them.
I'm telling y'all, Puka Williams averages 5 yards per carry.
Have you watched football this year? Have you watched Texas play
and
football this year?
And Khalil Herbert, who I doubt either you guys ever heard of, on 36 carries.
I went to a KU game this year.
The players' names, is averaging 9.9 yards per carry. He said 9.9 yards per carry. They might not have the best running back, but what I'm talking about a combination of running backs. They're really good.
No, that's still wrong when they have the best running attack in the Big 12. I don't care. That's wrong.
They've been solid. You don't have to go that far. They've been solid.
They're good at running the football. They're not even close to being the
best. I'm not going
to
fight you two MU honks. I can't win this fight. It's this pointless.
This has nothing to do with Mizzou and
watch college football. I know that's not the wrong answer. When it comes to it, though, this is a big established culture game.
Indiana State, Coastal Carolina, and Boston College.
Like, KU took two steps forward last week. Like, I'm not cracking any jokes. KU took two steps forward. Can you continue to take step forwards, or is this going to be a three-step back kind of game? Like, that's what it is. Like, every time KU over this decade has taken a step forward, or they've shown you a little bit of encouragement, it's always been met with a rapid disappointment. Man, if KU wins this game, man, two or three Big 12 wins is not going to be out of the realm of possibility, and I don't know what more you could ask from Les Miles in his first season. I understand the loss to Coastal Carolina was a disappointment, but maybe that's what fueled the win over Boston College. I really think this is the biggest game they've had this decade.
I just stop listening to what you're saying. BK, you're better finding this stuff than me. Find out where KU is just right now. I know we're only three or four games into the season compared to other Big 12 teams, because I think you guys are underrating their running game just a little bit.
No, I think that you're overestimating the fact that they've done it against three bad teams. Like, I understand that production-wise, you are probably correct. They might be at or near the top of the Big 12. By the way, they're not. They're sixth in the league in rushing right now.
I take it back.
Okay, all right.
In terms of yards per carry, they are seventh in the league in rushing.
I take it.
And again, they've played three horrible teams.
I'm not even hating on them. I agree with them that their running backs are good. Saying they have the best running attack in the Big 12
is
absolutely crazy. Our second in our cover two,
Oklahoma's averaging 330 yards on the ground per game.
I said I take it back.
We talk about the changing of the guard at quarterback and how the AFC and the NFL has been dominated by your Peyton Mannings, your Drew Brees, your Aaron Rodgers, your Tom Brady's. It has been dominated by five or six Hall of Fame quarterbacks that have played at an elite level for a decade plus. Think about what's currently happening in the NFL. Andrew Luck retired at the very beginning of the season. Drew Brees is going to be out for at least 6 weeks and could not grip a football. Ben Roethlisberger is going to miss the rest of this season. It would appear that Cam Newton's body is starting to break down. Nick Foles is now seeing a shift in a transition where the young guys are really starting to emerge. Like, I've been really encouraged by what I've seen from Lamar Jackson this season. I said during the offseason that one of those second-year quarterbacks was going to take a significant leap forward, and it was just picking the one who it was going to be. A lot of people thought it was going to be Baker Mayfield, and myself included. Man, that guy's been Lamar Jackson so far this season. After Patrick Mahomes, there's no quarterback in the NFL that has played better than Lamar Jackson. He's been fantastic this season. Josh Allen looks a lot better this year. Like, we are seeing the transition and the changing of the guard from the Drew Brees, from the Ben Roethlisberger, from Peyton Manning, who obviously been retired for a couple of years, Brady at age 42. And now we are seeing your 25, 30-year and under quarterbacks really start to emerge.
As BK pointed out, KU's opponents, the opponents that Lamar Jackson has faced, not exactly the steel curtain defense for the Denver Broncos from a few years ago. He's faced Arizona and Miami now. Put up 82 points, scored a bunch of touchdowns, rushed for over 100 yards last week. He's the best fantasy football player out there. Nothing against Lamar Jackson. As a matter of fact, we probably have sold him short the last couple of years. We've been talking about all these other guys, whether it was Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, your guy Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson. The truth is, right now, if you're talking about the best young quarterbacks in the league, based on what they've actually done, and you combine that with their health, Patrick Mahomes won. Going to become an argument for Lamar Jackson, too.
I understand not jumping out of the window for Lamar Jackson based on what we've seen so far, but I didn't think he could even be the passer that we've seen through these first two games.
I can't wait for this game.
I mean, if you want to completely disregard the game against the Dolphins, I understand the Dolphins are basically a 1AA opponent, but Arizona's a good team. Now, they're not going to win eight or nine games, but I think Arizona's going to be competitive for most of the season, and I thought Lamar looked really good in those teams. Against that team, and I wonder if we're going to use this same argument against Lamar if he plays well against the Chiefs. No one's calling the Chiefs defense some great defense. But if he goes out there and this is a shootout against Patrick Mahomes, I just don't know how long we can keep the, well, they only played X. They only played X. Like, I mean, you're playing NFL opponents, and this week you're going on the road in Kansas City, in which we all can assume is going to be a raucous environment and a raucous crowd. I'm with you. I'm anticipating this game because I think there is reason to doubt and have skepticism about Lamar Jackson. You have to eliminate that if he plays well on Sunday, in my mind, at Kansas City.
Yeah, this is the best game on the schedule. I can't wait for it. And it's a great test for the Chiefs defense because let's just call a spade. They face two quarterbacks that teams are likely going to pick in the top 10 of the next NFL draft, Gardner Minshew and Derek Carr. Now they're facing a guy in Baltimore who we've argued this entire week is maybe the third best team in the AFC right there behind Kansas City. So the first couple of games were quizzes. This is a test.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll catch up with Therese Paylor to get the latest on Jalen Ramsey as the Chiefs maybe are in or out on Jalen Ramsey. We'll find out more with Therese Paylor coming up at 3:30. But first, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.